Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Kelly Bidlin of A Numbers Game will join us. We'll go over the NBA play-in. We're doing this a day early here to just get it in before the play-in goes Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll do more on the playoffs here as they get underway Saturday. And let's just get into it. I guess first, I'm surprised, man. Did the show a little bit before this game wrapped up. I was surprised the Spurs. And I think this could be costly, if nothing else, even if they get by Denver in a potential second round. And Denver still has to beat Minnesota, and the Spurs still have to beat whoever they play. I'm surprised you wouldn't want to just knock Denver back to the floor. And for people that missed it, the Spurs played Denver Sunday night. Spurs were 11.5-point favorites. They were home. They rest Wembanyama. I know he's banged up with the rib, but if they won, that pushes Denver back to the four. And that means if you're the Spurs as the two, you don't have to play them in the second round. And you let Denver and OKC, in all likelihood, knock each other off, you know, play each other down to the wire, whoever one of them comes out of there. So there's three big teams in the West, and now you got to probably play two of them here, and you're the other team as opposed to playing one of them. I thought that was very strange. I was very surprised by that, and I think that could be something that really comes back to bite them. I was shocked that they didn't go harder to knock Denver back. To me, that is not seeing the big picture at all. And they played Castle, who was kind of banged up, but they didn't play Wembanyama. It was very strange how they handled it. I think that could be very costly as the Nuggets, now the three seed, they will play Minnesota. Do more on these series later in the week, but I will give a quick thought or two, I think, on some of these series. But mostly playing today, and it is kind of funny. 30 teams in the NBA. We play 82 games just to eliminate 10 of them. I mean, that's all we're doing, eliminate 10 of them, right? Yeah, because you knock out four more with the play-in and get you down to 16. So we play all these games. We start basically, you know, before Halloween, and we go into April in a 30-team league. We eliminate 10 of them with these 82 games. Kind of ridiculous, but four more will be gone after this round. So let's get into it. Good game on Tuesday night. A little unusual, the 9-10 game is first. I guess there was a hockey scenario with the building in Philadelphia, but it will be the Hornets and the Heat. Hornets are the 9, Heat are the 10. Heat have been in this game a million times, in this playing spot a million times, fourth year in a row. Last year they made it all the way out of the 10, meaning you had to win two games and both on the road to survive. They did. They beat the Bulls, then they beat the Hawks, and then they went to the first round. They got slaughtered by the Cavs. 3 years ago, if you remember, they were in the play-in as well. Lost the first game, won the second one. They had two cracks at it, and then they went all the way around to the NBA Finals. They upset the Bucks, and then, you know, beat the Knicks in the conference semis, and then beat the Celtics in that series where they were up 3-0. They blew the lead and then had to win on the road in Game 7 and did, and then they got beaten up pretty good in the Finals against Denver, and the Magic kind of ran out. So the Heat have been here before. Charlotte is everybody's team. Which I understand. I mean, they were 11-23 on January 2nd. They have rallied here to make the playoffs, and it looked for a while like they were not only going to make it, but maybe win the division, maybe get out of the play-in. I would worry, and I like Miami here, I would worry they're hitting a little bit of a rookie wall. To me, you get so much more experience with the Heat, who have not only been in these playoffs, but you got Spoelstra, who's a tremendous coach. You know, he's won championships. He's been to two more finals. He's been to what he went to four with LeBron. I mean, he's been to six finals. Is that right? Because he went to four with LeBron, and then he went to two, one in the bubble, and then the one a few years ago against Denver. So he's won it twice. He's been to the finals six times. Meanwhile, you got a Charlotte team and a Charlotte coach with no experience, where maybe they get a little tight. You know, Knipple hasn't played great the past couple of weeks. To me, give me the points. Give me the experience there. I will take Miami. I think the Hornets probably win, but I would not be surprised. Miami, you know how it goes. They look like, you know, this is wrong with them, that's wrong with them. We've been through this a million times, and they just have a million lives. They're a tough team, a well-coached team, and give me Spoelstra here on a couple days to prep with the experience of the team. Definitely getting the points here. I like Miami plus the points. Phoenix and Portland, I think it's kind of a toss-up game, so when in doubt, take the points, but I really like the under here. Both these teams top 12, defensive efficiency, both near the bottom here in offensive efficiency, at least in terms of teams that are still alive. Booker is obviously the best scorer here for the Suns, but the Blazers have a bunch of wings, a bunch of bodies that they can throw at him and kind of limit him. Avdija, the best scorer for the Blazers. I think, you know, Phoenix can probably use Brooks on him. So I think both teams are well equipped to guard the other ones. Like the three-point shooting can be spotty for both teams. You figure pace slows down, get a little tight here. with a chance to go to the playoffs. And whoever makes the playoffs, I mean, this, even if either of these teams never wins another game, it was a good year, because the Suns have been in a rebuild off of the Durant trade, or weren't a rebuild expected to, you know, win 31, 32 games after trading Durant. They really overachieved by getting here. And then the Blazers have been in a rebuild since they traded Dame a few years ago, and this is a good year for them. So whoever wins, you know, this is all kind of gravy going forward. I don't think either of them has a shot against either team, even if, you know, these teams can both be the 7 or the 8, depending on what happens after this. But neither of these teams, I wouldn't think, is beating the Spurs, and neither one is most likely going to do anything of note against the Thunder. I lean towards the Blazers plus the points, but I do like the under. Sixers Magic, again, I'll go with the championship coach and Nurse, who coaches the Sixers. I think Maxey's probably the best player on the floor, certainly the best scorer on the floor. Philly's home. So, I mean, that's a lot to overcome right there when you got the better coach, probably the best player in your home. And Orlando, just, you know, there's just a lot of red flags with them. You lose a game like that on Sunday where Boston isn't playing their guys. To me, that's a red flag. You know, I've had weird comments all year with Banchero and the coach going back and forth about, you know, making adjustments and them taking passive-aggressive shots at each other through the media. This is a team, remember, a lot of people picked them to go to the conference finals. There were even people, respected people, that picked them to go to the finals after they traded all those picks over the summer for Desmond Bane. Hasn't worked out. To me, there's just something off with that team, and the other night was a perfect example. I don't trust them to win on the road. I know no Embiid for Philly. I get that, and you worry about lack of size against Orlando, who maybe can out-muscle him and just outsize him. I get that. But I'm going with the home team here with the better coach. And I think close game, I think Maxey, I want him over anybody Orlando has. So I'll go with Philly there at home. They're laying 1.5, total 220.5. And then Warriors, Clippers, Kawhi, Steph. This is a hell of a lot of star power for a 9-10 game. Tyronn Lue, the Clippers coach, has won a title. Kerr's obviously won a million titles. One before Durant, two with Durant, and then one after. So four titles for Kerr. So five titles between these two guys. So pretty interesting matchup from that standpoint. To me, it's the Clippers, though. I know Steph is back, and the guy's terrifying to bet against. He's terrifying to lay points against. But coming off the injury, how many minutes is he going to play? I think Kerr made some comments that he doesn't expect Curry to get to the 40-minute mark or even around then. So if he's only going to play, you know, 30 minutes, 32 minutes, that's 16, 18 minutes where he's on the bench. Who is scoring for that team when he's on the bench? I'm not sure who they have to guard Kawhi on the other end of the floor. I think that people are going to be tempted to see, all right, it's Curry, it's the Warriors, I'm getting points. I actually think the Clippers kind of put them out of their misery. And I know Curry, Draymond, Kerr, they've won a million championships and they've got the heart of a champion, all that stuff. Are they really motivated by getting out of the 10 seed and then going to win another game and then going to play OKC? I mean, think about it. You got to have a two-team parlay here, winning on the road against the Clippers, winning on the road against the Blazers, Spurs loser, just to go get your head caved in against OKC. I don't know. I don't know that they're going to be. I mean, I'm sure they'll be motivated, but they have to know that, hey, let's get into the summer. Let's figure out our roster. I mean, are they really going to rally the troops here to win two play-in games and then say, all right, let's go give OKC a scare. Let's take them to 7. That's just not a realistic outcome here with no Butler. That's a very limited team. So I think the Clippers win. I'm okay laying the 4.5. Before we get to Kelly Bidlin, just general thoughts on these series. Again, I'll do more as the week goes on. Rockets-Lakers to me is a short series. There will be a lot of sentiment, and the Rockets are like a $9 favorite here, laying 5.5 in game one. That looks like Saturday, 8:40 Eastern. Figure they put LeBron in prime time in the league. I mentioned this. The league gets crushed. No Luka, no LeBron, no the Lakers. I know LeBron's playing, and you have the Lakers for these 4 or 5 games, and I do think it'll only be 4 or 5 games. But if you had Luka, you could have been playing deep into the second round. You could have gotten a month out of them. Luka, the Lakers, LeBron, all of those are big brands that you just lose right off the bat. And how good would a Luka in LA, you know, San Antonio versus Wemby, 7-gamer in the second round? But you're not going to have that. The Rockets, who are a flawed team, not a great team, but this is a great draw for them. They're young, they're athletic. They should bury the Lakers there. I wouldn't be surprised if they got swept. And before we do Kelly, the one I wanted to mention, DraftKings is doing this boost with series prop bets. So you can do a 25% boost on any series prop bet. to me, I went through and looked at it, and I'll have more later, but Cavs to sweep the Raptors, Rockets to sweep the Lakers. You do the boost, it's almost 19-1. I mean, look at it. You're laying 7.5 in game one. You with the Cavs, you're laying 5.5 on the road with the Rockets. If you just won the first two each, maybe too early to start like hedging that thing, but you get the idea. Eventually here, you could start taking some points the other way if you got up 2-0 both ways. I know it's basically an 8-leg parlay, but 19-1 for games where you're going to be a big favorite in a lot of them, I don't think that's the worst use of it. So Cavs to sweep, Rockets to sweep. It's hard to sweep too. I get that. Teams get up 2-0 and they take the foot off the gas. They get complacent. The other team is home. They're fired up. They start to get the call. So you don't see a lot of sweeps. Usually game three is the tough one, because if you can win game three, game four, the team that's down just says, all right, it's over. You got us. Well, let's get ready for Cancun. Let's enjoy our offseason. But I think that's not, especially if these books, and sometimes DraftKings, you get these boosts, but it's a very small maximum bet. So you want to bet a little to win a lot, and you don't get your stake back. Rockets to sweep the Lakers, Cavs to sweep the Raptors, plus a little under 1,900, plus 1,850. I don't think that's the worst bet. So got the play-in covered. Again, we'll get this out before the games here. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and again, it's remarkable. It's remarkable. We've only eliminated all the basketball we've watched, all the bad basketball we've watched. It's amazing we've only eliminated 10 out of the 30 teams after all of these games. But real basketball is about to start. The play-ins, the playoffs, it's a good time of the year. We'll talk to Kelly Billing. That is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. You can catch him. Long Shots, Hardwood Handicappers, a numbers game. He's everywhere, and he joins us now. Kelly, no more nonsense. It's playoff time. Some real hoops. Are you excited? What's going on?
Yeah, man. Let's get it started. These last month or so has just been disgusting tankage and, stat chasing for awards and everything. So, yeah, I'm very much ready for... I mean, whatever. We can still make money out of those situations, so I'm not necessarily complaining about that. But I'm ready for, the entire world just to focus on good basketball, and we can actually watch good basketball and cheer for that on the court. So, yeah, I'm ready to go, Will.
Yeah, I don't want to complain too much, because the overs, I finally caught on the last couple of weeks where I was like, just find one of these games where they don't care and bet the over. And, man, it's just funny how betting sometimes you bump into these things almost accidentally. You walk into these good angles. And I think 7 out of the last 8 Sunday night, outside of Warriors, Clippers, depending on when you got it, they all went over. A lot of the games the last couple of weeks just seemed like you couldn't make the numbers high enough. But before we get to the play-in games, and I want to get your thoughts on these series, what was your take on the Spurs losing to the Nuggets? As someone with Spurs futures, I was disappointed. I thought, man, that path was a lot easier. If you didn't have to face Denver and Nikola Jokic in round two, what was your take?
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Like, it is, we often say, maybe we just care about these things more than the teams do. But I think that's easier to say when there's 3, 4, 5 games left. Like, all right, don't try overly hard to try to control things here. Like, just get your business done and see how the rest works out. But I don't get what it is. Like, one final game that can swing things like that. I don't know why, Will. I don't know why someone wouldn't be like, hey, we'd much rather not have to play both of these teams, Oklahoma City and Denver, if possible.
Yeah, the term championship equity is a term that I feel like people use to be smart. But I don't usually use it for that reason, because I don't think I'm that smart. But I don't know. So let's just say round numbers, you had a 30% chance or a 35% chance to win the title. 35% probably high, but you get the idea. I don't know. Does that get bumped down to 20%? Feels like you just lost a good chunk of your quote unquote championship equity right off the bat.
No, I'm 100% on the same page. I don't get it. It's wild to me. It just seems like all these situations like this, where we think a team should care more about that, it's wild to me how often we're wrong. And then it almost is more surprising now on the other end when you actually just catch teams that try to do stuff like that and care about stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know. It's hilarious that we're so bad at predicting that type of stuff, of who's going to care and when they're going to care.
Yeah, a Celtics-Nuggets moneyline parlay on Sunday would have fed families. That would have been a nice one to have. Both huge dogs. But let's get on to the games. The first one, and this is unusual, the 9-10 is where we start here on Tuesday night. Hornets laying 5.5 to the Heat, total 228.5. I have a feeling you're on the other side of me here. I'm just not laying points to Spoelstra. You know, the Heat with their experience in these play-in scenarios, and the Hornets, as much as we all love the Hornets, and I love them too, it's been kind of a rocky last few weeks, and it started with a game at home against Miami about a month ago where they just, it looked like they maybe win the division, maybe get up to the sixth seed out of the play-in. They just couldn't, every time it felt like they were going to hit the gas, it felt like they, for lack of a better analogy, would hit a speed bump, and they're stuck here in the 9-10, maybe a little bit of a rookie wall. So when in doubt, to me, I'll take Spoelstra, I'll take the points. I think Charlotte probably wins here, but what's your take on this game?
Yeah, I do like Charlotte. I think the bigger concern to me is, like, I get it. They're not the same team that we saw, you know, in February around the All-Star game and you know, early March when this team was, we kept saying, hey, they've only lost twice since the start of the new year and you know, whatever it was. Really, really impressive run by them. I agree with you, not exactly the same team, but still 18-9 since the All-Star break, second best net rating in the NBA over that time. If you just go back a month, they're still up there, 10-5 over their last 15. Close out the season with a 13.3 net rating outside of garbage time. So this is over at Cleaning the Glass. Second best offense, eighth best defense. I think the bigger one for me in this one, Will, is I don't mind people downrating kind of where the Hornets are at, but like Miami just to close out the season. Like for most of the season, it was this run and gun offense that people were trying to figure out. And yes, I know they had health issues throughout the entire season. I'm not going to try to take that away from them. They definitely are a healthier team now than what we saw for most of the season. But the defense just these last few weeks, last 15 games, 29th rated defense in the NBA. We saw it unravel in Toronto last week. They kind of had a players only meeting after that. I bounced back after that a little bit, but man, I got some concerns there. And I think that there are, if you can't rely on that with Miami, I think there's been pretty big concerns overall with the team. So I hear you. I think there's a couple of those in these play-in games. You just want to say, hey, I'm back in Spo. I completely understand. We've seen him, you know, pull his way out of tougher spots than this. And look, I've lost money betting against it a lot of times, it feels like, in the past 4 or 5 years. But yeah, that's where I'm at in that game. Just am concerned about what we're going to see with that Heat defense. But, you know, what, one game. Can you get these guys to step up for one game? And then another after that, we'll see.
Do you think the Hornets win the doubleheader here and win both and actually go to the playoffs, where everyone seems like he's rooting for him, wants to see him? They'd be a fun matchup, new blood, all those things. Do you think they win both?
Yeah, I think so, Will. I think they do. It's just, I mean, what's waiting for him on the other side? Magic, Sixers, loser. I mean, no Joel Embiid most likely for the Sixers. Still waiting official word on that, but I'm sure it doesn't look like he's going to be in the first game tomorrow night. I'm not expecting him back for at least a couple weeks. But you know, Joel Embiid, I think that brings down the Sixers a great amount. Team that I had been building confidence in here the last couple weeks. And like the Magic, I just don't know why we think they're going to be able to flip a switch now and all of a sudden look like this team that we were talking about in August. Like, yes, they are healthier. Yes, they have all those guys back. But man, chemistry issues have been a problem all season long. You know, and frankly, is this Franz and Paolo, you know, kind of led team, is that enough? You know, Desmond Bane, you could maybe make the argument, is the best player on this team right now. I got questions at the top when it comes to the stars, and to get two games here, I trust the firepower more on the Charlotte side.
Who do you like here in Sixers? And this is going to be a Wednesday night game. Sixers now flipped favorites to a 1.5-point favorite, total 220.5. I think in general, you probably can't go wrong playing unders in these games where,
yeah,
you know, it's either face elimination or a chance to go to the playoffs. The pace usually slows down, a little more intensity defensively, which I'm not always sure is baked into these numbers. But I have a hard time back in Orlando in what should be a good home crowd. I know Philly's lost home games here in the playoffs in recent years, but it'd be lean towards the Sixers. Don't love it. Are you leaning in any particular way here, either side or total, with Orlando and Philly?
Yeah, sounds like we're kind of same page here. Right? Lean to the Sixers, lean to the under. You know, I know Embiid. Can these offenses really get going? I'm with you on that. It might end up being a bet for me, actually, on the under. But yeah, lean Sixers still. Again, just we talked about Orlando, man. This is, I just don't think now's the time that I'm going to start to trust this team all of a sudden. And maybe they can get, you know, on a heater here and rip off some wins and get, you know, through the playoffs and get it, steal a series or something like that. But man, they're going to have to show it to me first. This is not a team that I'm willing to go put some money behind without really seeing this for a few games. So, as far as this game though, lean Sixers. I'm not running to bet them, and then would lean the under as well.
Suns and Blazers, both teams probably, you know, excited to be here, both overachieved this year. We're down to 217.5. I like the under here. Both teams, you know, top 12, or top 12 defensive efficiency, both in terms of offense efficiency here, among the teams that are alive, both near the bottom. Again, same sort of concept where intensity, game probably slows down. I think it could be kind of a slower pace, uglier game. So I like under 217.5. I'd probably lean towards taking the Blazers with the points just because I think these teams are you know, pretty comparable here. What do you say?
Yeah, man, this is going to be pretty boring so far, Will. I'm right there with you. Lean to the under. Not going to be a play for me on that total. I'm most excited for this game, just to watch this game. But I can almost promise you I will not have a bet side or total in it. I do think it's going to be lower scoring, but 217.5, 218, pretty damn low. I'm not going to try to go under that. But I know, hey, if I had to bet one way, it would be the under. And then same here on the side. I'm not running to bet the Blazers. But, yeah, if I had to make a bet, it would be on the Blazers. I think these teams are pretty evenly matched. I think a lot has been lost in the shuffle with Portland over the course of the season. They've looked good at times. They've looked bad at times. The offense has struggled to really find its way most of the season, but the defense has still been strong. And since the All-Star break, third best defensive rating in the NBA. I think that's something they can kind of anchor things on. And it looks like Jeremy Grant's going to still be up in the air, but you know, they're fairly healthy besides that. And man, I think they're one of those teams that's kind of out of sight, out of mind. And you know, I think for most casual NBA fans, you could probably say that about Phoenix as well. But man, like what Drew Holiday's been adding all season, Denny Avdia is a special player and is looking a little bit healthier now. What Donovan Klingon's been doing defensively, anchoring that defense, has been huge up there for them. I do like them here. I think that, look, one game, it's not going to be a bet for me to almost simply because of this, Will. Like, one game, best player still on the other side, Devin Booker, and like that, if Booker can go off, have a big game here, that'd be a little bit more concern, would concern me, and it's going to keep me on the sidelines. But yeah, I think this Blazers team, wouldn't shock me, they win this, get in the playoffs, and cause some issues in the first round, stealing a game or two for sure.
All right, we are in the golden years here of the Warriors dynasty, which is, that last title in, 21-22, that was the cherry on top title. They did it without Durant after they did it before Durant and then 1-2 with him. But it's kind of, man, just a night-to-night basis, a little bit depressing to watch them when they finished 37-45, 38-44 in that range. Just, when you're 37-45 or whatever, you don't need to be playing in postseason play. That being said, it's still Curry. I don't have much interest in this game. I did give out and bet Warriors 8-1 to miss the playoffs back the night before Thanksgiving because Curry got hurt. So that's a nice one for anyone that tailed. I tweeted that one out there, but I don't know, man. You tell me here, Clippers laying 4.5, 220.5. Is there anything bettable here?
Yeah, this is, I did bet the Clippers, but it was small, kind of, when I saw, well, not just on open, but when I honestly saw this moving this morning, closer to 5, where it's basically at now. I laid 4, wanted to get underneath that 5 mark. Smaller bet for me, though, on the Clippers. I think basically what you said about Spoelstra for the Heat is kind of more what I'm worried about here. I bring up Booker as being the best player in that Phoenix-Portland game. Okay, like Steph in a one-off game scares the hell out of me. I do think very interesting comments from Kerr last night about there being a minutes restriction on him, Porzingis, and Horford into this game. So I don't know if I believe you, Steve Kerr, but he did say that. That is going to be the case. So I didn't really make the bet because of that. I'm going to plan on, I think if you're going up against Steph Curry in a winner-go-home situation, you need to plan on him playing every single damn minute if you're betting against him. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, this Clippers team has, like, they made business decisions about what the future of this team was going to look like this season with trading Harden away. I believe that. I don't really believe that they think that they made these moves to get them better this year. Having said that, though, 16-12 since the break, 11th best net rating at that time, a top 13 offense, defense, Kawhi Leonard quietly having one of the best seasons in the NBA. I think they could get this. I think this is another team like the Blazers. I think they could get in their way into the playoffs and cause some problems for a first round opponent. Don't really know that they go and win one of those, but I think they could cause enough issues to take a game or two.
Yeah, the Thunder would kill the Warriors. The Thunder will beat the Clippers, too. And I'm disappointed, too, just because, well, not because I have Spurs futures, but from a fan's perspective, just the drama of Kawhi and the Clippers versus the Spurs, that could have been interesting just because the Clippers upside, the Spurs inexperience, where that's not a gimme putt. That would have been at least been interesting. But in the 9-10 here, they can only get to the 8, and they just, to me, don't have enough here to win two games. Then a quick turnaround, beat the Thunder. To me, they'll just, maybe they have their moments in that series, but it's obviously going to be the Thunder moving on. Before I get thoughts on some of these series,
yeah, I'll say they take OKC. One off
OKC. I think, that sounds about right. I mean, sweeps are always hard. You know, these teams, it can look like a mismatch on paper, but the complacency sets in, and you know, home court, and you can always, anyone can always get a game. Shouldn't we just be banking with the way the West bracket broke? OKC -155, -160. They're going to beat the Thunder. I mean, they're going to beat the Warriors or the Clippers or whoever. They're going to beat the Rockets, and we're going to be sitting there a month, 6 weeks from now, whenever the conference finals are, and they're going to be facing whoever, and they're going to be a lot higher than -160. Can you talk me out of that?
No, not at all. I heard you bring this up on By the Books this morning. I fully endorse it and might be joining you. I have not bet them at all yet, but and really, yeah, really wasn't thinking about it or planning on it until, yeah, you kind of see how the way the bracket breaks, and I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I mean, worst case scenario, you want to buy off that position, Western Conference Finals, and yeah, maybe we're assuming too much, but yeah, I'm going to put it as that. Worst case scenario is they're getting into the Western Conference Finals, and then you can mess around with that ticket then if you're really high on the Spurs or Nuggets, if that's where we end up. So yeah, I heard you talking about that this morning, man. I think it's a great call.
All right, let's just give me a thought or two on these series. I'll frame it this way. You have to give me a bet on all of these series. You can either do winner of the series, series correct score, or over under games. I'll start with Cavs Raptors. Cavs laying 600. If you want some correct scores, I can give it to you. The total games here, over 5.5 is, and under 5.5 is -110 each way. You have to bet something here. You are betting what?
I am betting the Cavs in 5 and in 6. I think that I'll be honest, this line was a little bit more than I thought it was going to be. And look, I do this a lot, Will. I do this a lot with kind of series where I'll grab kind of two of those exact outcomes instead of laying a series spread or something. Just gives you a little bit more bang for your buck. I think there's some people that are going to call this a sweep. I don't think this ends in a sweep. I think that the Raptors take one or two off of them. I also don't think we're seeing 7 in this series, though. I think the Cavs, just an overall better team. I think the Raptors have been a bit slept on this year. Like, it's a quality defense. They've got some good players. I know a lot of people have been critical of just the way that they play and kind of these guys that they put around each other being mid-range shooters and really guys that all need the ball in their hands. Did get news coming down a little while ago, Emmanuel Quickley is going to be day-to-day, so that is big for Toronto, a big negative for them if they're not going to have him for the series or missing a game or two. But yeah, I think I'm right in that middle. I think it's Cavs in 5, Cavs in 6. That's kind of how I would play that. The 6, just since the All-Star break, got all these numbers pulled up, might as well roll through them. 14 and 13 are the Toronto Raptors. 10th best net rating, top 12 offense and defense. That's pretty good. Honestly, been a little bit better in net rating than the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are 18 and 9 over that time span. But, you know, this is also keep in mind competition that's been played over the last month. This includes a lot of tanking teams that both these teams have played. So there's going to be some noise in those numbers. You've got Toronto 4-1. ATS in the last five games against Cleveland, so at least recently, it has played this Cavs team well. Different looking Cavs team than most of those games. But yeah, I think Raptors, I don't think they get swept. I think you're probably going to hear a lot of that this week. This number was a little bit steeper on the series price than I thought it was going to be. I knew the Cavs would be heavy favorites, but this was a little bit bigger than I thought. So I'll go Cavs in 5 and in 6. Does that count? Am I allowed to do that, or do I have to pick one?
We'll file an appeal, like Luka Doncic applying for all NBA here. We'll file an appeal. We'll wait back to hear.
Yeah, the problem is otherwise I'm just going to be boring and say the Cavs laying a game and a half. You know what I mean? But that, you get a little better price if you play it in 5 and in 6.
Good call. Good point. Knicks $3 series favorites over the Hawks. Same exercise. You got to bet something here. You're betting what?
Cavs, I laid a game and a half. That's how I took this. I'm sorry, Cavs. Knicks laid a game and a half with them.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, this is one. I think this is the other side. I think the Hawks are going to get too much love heading into this week. I was wondering where this price was going to be at. I thought it was going to be Knicks minus 300, maybe a little steeper. I'll be in on New York. I think it's a great story what Atlanta's done since the break. 20-6, fourth best net rating in that time. It's great. They've beat up on a lot of crappy opponents. That was well documented after the All-Star break. It has gotten tougher here recently. I don't want to take anything away from them. I really think the way they ended the season was more impressive than I was expecting. The Knicks, we all like to hate on them. We all like to jump on them. But this is a team I don't know that I trust to go too far in the playoffs from what we've seen with this group. But the way I've been kind of talking about the Knicks all year is they still have the I think they still have the highest floor to me of kind of all these Eastern Conference teams. It's just, we know what Brunson does in the playoffs. You know what Cat can do. You've got these other good role players around them. I just think it puts them up there in a weak Eastern Conference as a team that is going to at least get to that second round. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of Atlanta love coming in here this week. I have no problem backing up the favorite against them. I think that is the right side. And just keep in mind this series, Knicks, man, they've been crazy good at home this year, too. 31-10 straight up, 28-13 against the number. And Atlanta has struggled in New York, 1-5 in their last six straight up.
Nuggets against the Timberwolves. Nuggets minus 350. On one hand, I wonder how the public's going to handle this, because on one hand, it's Jokic and everyone just loves the Nuggets. On the other hand, people are going to remember, Minnesota beat them a couple years ago. They won three games in Denver's building, including that game seven, which I still can't get over. Denver seemed like was on the verge of blowing them out, and Minnesota not only rallies, but they blow Denver out.
Yeah.
Minnesota, it's a brutal bracket for them with it would have to go probably Nuggets, Spurs, Thunder to get to a final. That's obviously not happening. That would take a miracle. Same exercise. You got to pick something here. You're picking what?
Oof. I think I'm going to end up betting this just game by game. So if I got to go a future bet, I'll go Nuggets. I'll go Nuggets in six. I'm going to go Nuggets in six for this one. I'll probably play that small. I think this is very interesting coming in. I'm with you, Will. I'm wondering, waiting to see kind of what the market remembers. And I think that if they're, even the series number is kind of drawing off some of the past Minnesota positives to me. I think this Denver team, I think this is a better roster, and Minnesota's a worse roster than what we've seen in recent years. Maybe just my opinion, but I think with Cameron Johnson, you got some of these other pieces that Denver's added, some of the other pieces that have gone away from Minnesota. I think these are just slightly different rosters going up against each other. And if Denver's had this mainly the slight edge in those matchups still in the past, I know Timberwolves have played them tough, won that one you're talking about. Still think the Nuggets better team. I think are a better team this year. I think this number is a little light on them. So, yeah, I think I'm going to end up attacking this game to game. Interested to see what kind of Edwards situation is, if anything. I think if you are handicapping this series one way or the other, you should be expecting a fully healthy Anthony Edwards. But just the fact that he's kind of dealing with the same injury that we saw Steph be sidelined with for a while is mildly concerning to me if that's something that flares back up.
Yeah, and you get a pretty good bang for your buck. Nuggets in six is plus 450. Obviously, you need the road closeout, which is always tough, but not impossible. And that does feel like the sweet spot of, all right, it's not a sweep or a short series. Doesn't quite go seven, but the Nuggets, you know, it's close. And then the Nuggets close out in six. Plus 450 is not a bad payout. Plus, if you get to that game six up 3-2, you got a nice, you know, hedge, maybe middle opportunity live, something like that. The next one, I've heard people say, boy, this line is way too high for the Rockets. It's disrespectful to the Lakers. And I think the Lakers are lucky to get a game here. I think the short shot here is the Rockets to sweep at plus 240. The series price, Rockets anywhere from $8, $9 favorites. I think that's justified. I think the Lakers are drawing dead against a young, athletic Rockets team. I know the Rockets have had their issues, but I don't know. Can you make a case for the Lakers getting a game here? And if you had to bet anything, what would it be?
I would go Houston in five. That's what I'm going to go. I think that I don't trust this Rockets team at all. I think this isn't really a pro Lakers thing. I think the Rockets screw around offensively and blow one of these games. I could easily see that happening. Maybe LeBron has his moment for a game and is able to drag this Lakers team to a W. I'm overall though, I'm with you. Like, I think it's tough. It's asking a whole lot without Luka Doncic, without Austin Reeves on this Lakers team for them to get by Houston. But this Rockets team in general, just not a lot of trust for me going forward. It's a top top nine offense and defense out of the break. But man, I still have my offensive concerns with them. It's just, it's all Kevin Durant. If it's not working with Durant, there's very limited options for them to turn to. I think they screw around and lose one of these games. I do think that. I haven't caught as much a conversation as you have about this. I'm not going to go rush and say that this is unfair pricing or anything. I think it's going to be very tough for the Lakers to actually win this series. But could I see Houston screwing around and blowing one or two of these games? Yeah, I could. I'll say Houston in five, and probably a team that I am then immediately fading in the next round.
Yeah, that would be tough for them against OKC. I think Cleve TA tweeted that Bill Simmons had Zach Lowe on his weekly Sunday Night podcast and asked Zach who was favored, and it was like surprised that the Rockets were favored or thought it was in question who would be favored, which I don't know. That Lakers team, I can't expect Luka to come back off that injury. I think it's going to be rough for them, which kills the league. Yeah. Not kills the league, but this, that you lose Lakers, you lose Luka, you lose LeBron, like you lose one of your big, and I know people may be tired of LeBron at this stage, but you lose one of your big players, one of your big teams right off the bat, where they would have been a fun draw, them versus Wemby maybe in the second round, and you lose that right off the bat. All right, last one. Who's in the finals and who wins?
Yeah, this is it is a shame, though, Will, because you're right. It already felt like the West was just down to three teams, you know, and now it really feels like it's just down to three teams. And, yeah, I think we'd all be for if you're a lover or a hater, I'm all here for one last Steph or LeBron run. Yeah, like dragging these teams of nobody. Like, it would be fun to watch. I think it could be make a couple games here fun. But yeah, is it really realistic? Man, not really. Okay, final predictions, man. Okay, I'm going to stick with my Western Conference team that I've said all along. I'm going to still go with the Denver Nuggets. Nuggets find a way to punch through both Spurs and Oklahoma City, get to the NBA Finals, where they will face the Boston Celtics. That is a bit of a change for me. I've been saying mainly Nuggets-Knicks most of the season, and I guess I'll finally pivot to the Boston Celtics.
I think it was 2 years ago. I had some Celtics Nuggets exactas at great prices, 5-1. I was saying it all year. It eventually closed like 2-1, maybe under 2-1. And that Nuggets T Wolves series that we talked about was the one that really cost it. And last year, I think I had OKC Boston, and Boston got picked off. But that was a painful one a couple years ago. So it would be fitting for that one 2 years too late here. But Boston Denver would certainly be fun. I think a lot of people are still going to be boring and stick with OKC. And in Boston, I know our buddy Gil Alexander has some unbelievable. I can't believe I missed this bet. Spurs and Celtics at 125-1 just to meet in the finals is a bet I am extremely jealous of.
Yeah, me too. It was Gil's a little bit more detached from the NBA. You can see some things like that a little bit more. You know, we're looking at this. I'm looking at a San Antonio team still growing and coming together, and a Boston team trying to figure out how to play without Jason Tatum. Good on Gil. He made that bet in what, right after the NBA Cup.
Yeah, Christmas Day. Absolutely just a tremendous bet. I remember when he texted about it, and I don't know what I was doing, but didn't bet it. But, Kelly, you're the best man. Hardwood Handicappers, a numbers game. Where else can we find you?
Long shots for some golf betting, and then whenever Will invites me on, should have bet more.
Appreciate it, man. Always fun. Thanks.
Yeah, dude. Anytime.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. Would appreciate some reviews to keep coming in. I think we're stuck at like 74 or something. So I'll do a promotion soon. Did one a little earlier in the year, but I'll get one up and running again soon here. So leave a review on Apple to be eligible. Just leave your name or Twitter handle, anything like that. And we'll figure something out here pretty soon. But appreciate you guys listening. We'll be back on Friday, back to a normal schedule. See you then.